stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
Stewie, congratulations, mate, on Olympic selection. Amazing achievement. How do you feel?
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Obviously pretty happy. I kind of, even though you've got the times and stuff, you still, it comes down to whether you get selected or not. So to get it out of the way, early is obviously pretty nice. I think when you're any junior athlete, your kind of aim is to hopefully one day go to the Olympics, even though it might seem like a long shot. So to kind of tick that off, and hopefully the Olympics do go ahead next year, will be a pretty amazing experience.
So even, I was thinking about this, even if it doesn't, like, it's still just an unbelievably amazing achievement to get selected for the Olympics. I mean, that is just, I mean, obviously you want to run there, but the world as it is, we never really know what's going to happen. But like, that really is an amazing achievement. And just think, anyone who spends time running, like as a junior, as I started as a senior, and it's just this kind of this overhanging dream of mine to go to the Olympics, and you're like, you don't even have to run a marathon to do it. You're doing it at like the proper events. So 5 and 10, that's like distance running. That's what I think. You don't go into marathons unless you're crap at the 5 and 10. So the fact that you've got there doing the 5 and 10 is just awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy I don't have to do the marathon. bit far for me, but that's what I think. I think, like, hopefully the Olympics do go ahead, but I'm like, when I was a kid, you obviously dream of making the Olympics, but you never think you'll get close to even qualifying. And you kind of look at the guys at the pinnacle and you're like, you don't, it's hard to like comprehend how good they are. Like, you're thinking, how did someone ever get that good? And to kind of get to a level where you can qualify for Olympics is kind of at higher than what you ever expected, even in your when you're a kid dreaming. So I think, yeah, that's, as you said, it's obviously pretty special.
Oh, 100%. So hang on, what are you running for that? So 5K, your PB is 13.05. What's that? Like, 2:38? Is that?
Yeah, I think it's 2:37s, yeah.
2:37s. So I remember when I started running when I was like 22, 23, there was a guy in my club who could run 15:50 for 5K. And I was like, how is that even possible? And then like, you know, then I start running and I thought 15 minutes, that's the ultimate. And like, then, you know, you end up low 14s. You were over a minute ahead of me. That is just ridiculous. Yeah, just that is just phenomenal. But then you've got Cheptegei, who is now 30 seconds ahead of you, mate.
Yeah, so he's about, he's probably 190, 180, 190 meters in front. So, I know what you mean, though. Like, I remember when I was a kid trying to run 1 kilometer rep in 3 minutes, and you're like, Jesus, feels fast. I'm like all out sprinting. And then you think back now, you're doing 5 minute row with no recovery in 2:37. So, it's pretty crazy when you do think back like that.
So I think what I'm going to do when I've, because I've got a bit of a foot injury at the moment, when I'm back, I'm going to try and run a 2:37 kilometer, see if I can do it. Just the one. Oh, man.
Yeah, I think you'll be able to do it. It's,
maybe I can.
It sounds harder than what it actually is, but it's more like trying to put them back to back to back. That's the hard part.
Mate, it's like you're doing 5 by K, 2:37s with no recovery. That is ridiculous. So that's really cool. Anyway, before we get into that race you did recently, actually, just want to ask you, how did you hear about the selection? Did you get a call today, yesterday?
So I found out from like the Oz Olympic team during the week. We kind of got a heads up, and then it was kind of, it still has to go to the Olympic committee during this week, and they have to obviously approve it. So I kind of got a call from the Olympic rep down in Tassie yesterday, notifying that we'll officially get an announced today. So I kind of knew it was in the works, but I didn't officially find out until yesterday. And then they said it was going to, we've got the tick of approval and it was going to be announced, which was obviously kind of cool that you know it's going to happen just before. So yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, like that. I mean, yeah, you just, I mean, that's confirmed, you know, you've actually qualified for the Olympics for Team Australia. That is just, yeah, that is so good. But anyway, where are you right now, Stewie?
So I'm currently in London. So I'm lucky I got out of lockdown in Melbourne about 2 days after it became full lockdown. So I'm kind of not missing too much back there. But yes, I got out and then I've just been in London preparing for a 1500 in Stockholm this weekend.
Yeah, right. So you're at Twickenham, the St. Mary's kind of area?
Yeah, so we're based in like 5 minute jog from the St. Mary's track. So we're 5 minute jog from the track and 2 minutes from Bushy Park in Teddington. So
yeah,
it's a pretty nice spot. Obviously the weather over here is good at the moment, which is surprising. So it's actually nice to get a bit of sun coming from the cold winter in Melbourne.
To be honest, like I normally spend 2 or 3 weeks in England, like at this time of year. And so doing a whole winter in Tassie, that's actually like, oh man, it is, yeah, it's pretty tough because England at the moment, it's like, what's it, dark at like, it gets dark at 10 p.m. or something at the moment over there?
Yeah, so even the mornings, like I'll look out my window at just after 6 and it's light as well. So you just have such good daylight hours. Where back home, yeah, especially in Tassie, it's probably getting dark 5:30.
Yeah, I mean, it was around 5 or before 5, but now it's started to kind of push out a bit. But yeah, honestly, like you talk about going to England in the summer, how great it is. Go to England in the winter, like you get the opposite. The days are so short. Oh man, it's just miserable.
And it's absolutely freezing. Yeah, because I went over in February for indoors last year.
Oh, yeah.
And the chill factor over here is crazy.
It's the humidity. It just sucks the heat out of you. It's ridiculous. Yeah, anyway, so you went from, so you were down in Monaco and you've gone up to London, then you're going to go to Stockholm like over the next couple of days.
Yeah, so I'll head Friday to Stockholm and then have a day or two there and then race Sunday late afternoon in the 1500 at the Stockholm Diamond League. So that'll be a good hit out.
What are you running there?
It's a pretty stacked field, the 1500.
Oh, so you're doing the 15. Yeah, right. Do you feel a little bit do you feel a bit like you should have been in the 15 where Jakob ran like 2:28? Were you kind of sick at all? Did you kind of see that race and go, oh, that would have been nice to slot in there?
Yeah, I would have loved to be in it. I think any good race, you kind of want to be in it. You want to race the best guys. So I'll get a chance to race him on Sunday. So
he's running the 15 again, is he?
Yeah, so he'll be in Stockholm the 1500. So yeah, I'll have my work cut out if he's in 3:28 shape. So that'll be a good contest, hopefully.
Do you reckon if you were just on the train, like behind Jakob, Philip and Jake Whiteman, do you reckon you could have hung on?
It's kind of unknown until you're on it. I think I would have definitely got on the pace and we would have found out. But yeah, I could have either hung on, run a massive PB, or also could have blown up. It's kind of, you don't really know until you're in the situation. So yeah, I could either run really fast or I could have also run way off my PB and blown up the last lap. So hopefully it's a fast race on Sunday and we'll get to find out.
Oh, mate, I can't wait. So Jakob basically ran from the front in his pack because Cherik's group just went off, right? They were just completely gone. And Jakob basically just ran from the front. How much is drafting important in 1500, do you reckon? Do you think it's less important than 5K? What do you reckon?
It's definitely less important the shorter the distance, but it's still amazing the way he runs because he had to take that whole second pack up back to Chariot. So
yeah,
he didn't really have a sit in for predominantly most of the way, and then he kind of got to the bell and was able to pick up his pace again. So yeah, the way he runs is crazy. He's just so strong.
Mate, he's just really good.
He's crazy good in the big moments. Like tactically, he's really sound. So yeah, credit where credit's due. He's just an amazing athlete.
Mate, I've got faith though. I reckon if you sit on him, don't let him go. He can drag you around for a sub 3:30. I reckon.
We'll give it a crack. Yeah.
Oh God, Stewie,
I'll be trying to beat him for sure. But I'll get back to you post race.
Yeah. So I just had a rant on our podcast because I do that Inside Running Road to Nowhere podcast, and I just had a rant about the footage of the 5K. I mean, it was great that Cheptegei was getting so much footage. Obviously, he's getting running a world record. But what really gets me is when he's finished, they'll film the back of his head, like, or him lying on the track instead of the guy coming second. And you had a really exciting sprint finish for third, right? Like, there was a huge pack coming in for third.
Yeah, there's about five of us sprinting down, yeah.
Yeah, and there's just no footage of it. And I was going mental at home. I'm just like, how the hell is Jury doing? And then you kind of see over the guy's shoulder, your blanket finish. You got no idea what you guys ran for another 10 minutes when they put the official race, like, results up. Oh my God, it's just, and then also cutting away to bloody pole vault during the race. Oh, honestly, that just winds me up. I guess you watch the footage back after the race, do you? Or do you tend not to?
No, I'll see snippets if it goes on social media or something. But yeah, you do hear, like, my family get up and watch, or someone watches, and it's like, they don't really get to see much unless you're right at the front of races. But I think with Cheptegei, I'm kind of like, I don't really mind. Like, the guy ran a world record, give him as much camera time as he deserves. So,
but they still cut away for the bloody pole vault.
Oh, it's annoying when they, especially over 1500, they always zone out to, like, the track events, and they'll put long jump and stuff on. And it's like, you miss so much of what actually happens in the race, and then you come back and it's like, the field's completely changed. So
completely different. That happened in the women's 5K as well. So suddenly Jess Hull dropped off, and there's a huge change. Like, Laura Waitman was on the front, and it was just like, when did this happen? You know, what's been going on? Do you not understand what split screens are? Anyway, this isn't about me ranting about athletics coverage. So take us through the last couple of laps. So you just had a big group in there. There was a guy in third, right, who was kind of isolated, and you guys hunted him down. Was that right?
Yeah, so there was pretty much Cheptegei, and then the second guy from Kenya who went on the pace. And then it was kind of, there was another guy who we almost caught, and then there was a pack about me and about three or four others.
Do you know those just boys? Off that. Do you chat to them, those other lads?
Yeah, a couple of them I know, a couple I don't really know. It was kind of just all of us hammering that last lap, and it was kind of just like a bit of cat and mouse into that final lap, and then everyone just tried to show their cards, and it was pretty tight in the end. I think there was five of us in about 50 meters.
Yeah, well, what was your last lap, do you know?
I'm actually not sure what the last lap was, but it felt reasonably quick, but it was a lot of up and down, because, like, obviously someone would go, and then the next person would go, so it was kind of changing gears a fair bit, which was obviously an interesting way to finish a 5K.
That would have been nice to see. If only they had two cameras at the stadium, you know. We finished that rant. Great time. Are you happy with that as a kind of season opener?
Yeah, I was pretty happy. I think coming off the plane, normally the longer distances, like, I find you can, the 1500 or something's a bit easier straight up, while the 5K, it's not quite as easy. And I think probably it was pretty hot in Monaco, and coming from Melbourne, I kind of definitely noticed the heat a lot. I was obviously pretty happy. I think it's my third fastest 5K ever. So you can never be too angry when you're running one of your best times. So it was a good start, and hopefully I can kind of build on that result.
Yeah, 100%. So it was what, in the high 20s? The temperature was around mid 20s by the time you're running, do you know?
Yeah, I think when we ran, it was maybe 25 or 26. So
that's not ideal 5K conditions. Well, I guess
that was a crazy about Cheptegei's run. I don't think it was for 1500. I reckon it's optimal conditions, like 8 1500. But I think for 5K, it was probably a little bit hot. So yeah, to see what Cheptegei did. Literally, he had paces for about five laps, and then he ran the last eight laps by himself. Was pretty crazy to see.
I think Rambo was slowing him down on that sixth lap. But he managed to get there in about 6:04, I think, or 6:05, which is a bloody good time for six laps.
Because you look at his splits, and once the pacemakers dropped out, he ran his last 3K quicker.
Yeah, I saw that. He started dropping
which is
sub,
crazy.
Sub 60s. Yeah. Last...
Which is crazy when you're solo and quicker than what you were when you had help. So I think just on that, I think there's no doubt he can run 12:30 or 12:29. There's definitely more time there.
Oh, but the thing is, you can't get pacemakers that can last long enough unless they're kind of, unless you get like Bekele and Kipchoge, or well, even they probably couldn't do it actually, could they? So you'd have to get some bloody good 5K runners to come out and pace him for like 3.5K.
Yeah, exactly. Because even I saw like across the line and I was like pretty dead, and like he's jogging around with the flag and stuff. So I'm like, he didn't look that beat up for it. It was only like 30 seconds after he just broke a world record. So, yeah, I think
he took him about 5 seconds to get his breath back. I was looking. I was just like, he crossed the line. He looked a bit out of breath. And then 5 seconds later, he is fine. He could run it again. Yeah. Like, it's just, oh, insane. Just quickly. So, just want to know, what's the travel situation with COVID? And what's like the call room? What's that kind of situation? How's that different?
So it's kind of just the travel is more like, it's just like a lot careful. Like you have to wear masks everywhere. And it's kind of just trying to avoid talking or being too close to people. And then in the, like in the athlete hotels, you've got, it's kind of like set up like a bit of a hub. So you've got your own room, and you're just wearing masks 100% of the time. Before a fair few of the meets, you got to pass COVID tests.
Yep.
To make sure you don't have it. And then, obviously, warming up, and when you go in a cold room, you've got to be wearing it. Like, you can warm up without it when you're jogging, but then when you're walking into the cold room and about to go on the track, you have your mask on, and then you can take it off once you get out on the track. So, it's a little bit different in that regard, but it's not too bad, because, like, obviously, you don't have to wear it when you're warming up or doing strides. So, that's kind of a bit easier than what it would be if you had to wear it full time.
So, I saw some people like warming up in the middle of the track. Maybe that was like on the grass in the middle. Maybe that wasn't, was that, did that happen in Monaco?
Yeah. So that was Monaco. So they pretty much, instead of having the main call room where everyone's just congregating in an indoor room, they kind of opened it up and had it as like an outdoor area in the middle of the track.
That's so much better.
So yeah, it's like what you would get at a Vic Milers club or something, where you're able to still do stride or whatever and then just get on the start line. So it's actually, I think performance wise it's better, because you're not having to be in a room for 20 minutes and cool down and then have to get going once you get back out. You kind of can stay warm the whole time.
I love that. It's like, how good is that? It's like Diamond League does something well when they do it like the Vic Milers club.
Yeah, exactly. So taking a few pointers from the BMC.
Yeah, exactly. How good is that? I shot out of just a call for some questions, so I might just quickly have a quick read of some of them before I let you go. Who's your favorite competitor? That's from Tinez04. So I guess that's, who's your favorite kind of athlete that you compete against regularly?
I'd probably say I like racing the Inka Britson brothers, so all three of them. I think they're kind of the top guys right now, especially in Europe. So, yeah, I like racing them, because you know every race you run against them, whether it's Henrik, Philip or Jakob, it's going to be a hard race. So, yeah, I enjoy competing against those guys probably the most out of the guys I race overseas.
Yeah, all right. So they're obviously absolute legends, especially Jakob. He's getting seriously quick these days. So, are you actually mates with them? Do you chat to them?
Yeah, I get on pretty well with them. If I see him, I talk to him. I sometimes, like, I've warmed up and warmed down with them before. So, I do talk to him a fair bit, which is, it's kind of nice when you know your competitors a little bit, and you can, like, you obviously compete when you're on the track, but then you can kind of switch off and talk to them outside the track as well.
Yeah, they seem to have a bit of banter about them. Have you been invited to Norway for, like, a training camp?
Nah, not yet. I don't think it's kind of the way they train, it's pretty selective. I don't know whether they'd want too many outsiders coming in and joining them. But yeah, they're always up for a chat, which is nice.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So, how much banter is in those call rooms, do you reckon? Like, is there ever any banter, or people were a bit too serious before the race?
It kind of depends. It's probably not that much banter, really. Like, you might have some in the warm down track or warm up track, but once you get in Corum, it's kind of more serious. But it often depends who's in the race. If you've got like, there's a lot more European type guys in there, there'll be a lot more talking because a lot of the guys know each other. But if they're from like all across the world and they like people don't really know each other that well, it's pretty pin drop quiet.
Yeah, you probably kind of just politely smile at each other, or just, I tend to find like, if I'm ever in a call room with some like Kenyans or something, they just point blank ignore me. So I'm like, oh, that's fine. They're not here to make friends, are they? They're here to make some money.
You just do your own thing. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Will Robertson said, when is the marathon debut?
Yeah, hopefully a while off. it's still a long way, but yeah, I'm definitely excited to do one. I think I'll obviously get through Tokyo on the track and then kind of decide what I want to do from there. But yeah, I'm definitely going to pencil one in at some point. I'm intrigued by the distance, but I'd have to definitely start change the way I'm training if I want to do one. But yeah, hopefully in the near future, I'll decide whether I want to do one sooner or I'll leave it a little bit later. So it's kind of just up in the air. I'm just focusing on getting through Tokyo and then kind of working out from then on.
Yeah, okay. I think I wouldn't hurry, mate, to be honest. I think you're in a bit of you're in a good spot at the moment. I wouldn't hurry. I'd wait until, how old are you now, Stewie?
So 25 this year.
25. Wait till you're 30. You're too good at the fun distances, I reckon.
As long as you can keep PBing at track, maybe I'll hold out going, but it kind of just depends. You never know when you're going to hit your limit or whatever, and you're kind of looking for a new type of event. So I'll kind of, I'll get through Tokyo and then I'll kind of toss up what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I reckon, I mean, because you can sort of become a 10K specialist, can't you, as well? Like, I guess 5K is kind of similar, but yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of, there's still, even on track, like between the 15 and 10K, there's a lot of variance that you can get better at with age. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of just that waiting and seeing how you go type of thing.
Yeah, right. Have you actually done a half?
No, I haven't. The fastest I've done City to Surf back in like when I was 19, so that was 14K. And then other than that, it's 10K. So I haven't done a half yet, so I think I'll have to tick off a half before I look to do a marathon at some point.
Yeah, right. I think, I think you can get away with that just on 10K training. It's definitely different from the marathon. So, I mean, I guess you still don't need to touch that. You're still, let's see how you go on the 15 of the weekend, eh? So, like,
If that goes well, maybe we'll put it back a little bit.
Yeah, if you end up blowing up and running, like, actually, I'm not going to wish that on anyone. You're hopefully going to break. What is the Aussie record, actually?
It's 331.
Who's got that?
Ryan Gregson.
Is that Gregson? Yeah, okay. What did Mottram run for 15, do you know?
333, I think.
333. And you're 332?
I've run 331.8 twice.
Oh,
so I run the exact same time twice.
How does it's kind of bittersweet, isn't it? You're like you're chuffed, you're in like PB shape, but to not get a PB, yeah, it's happened to me a couple of times and it is frustrating. But 331.
That's what you still gotta think. You still gotta think like it's if you're getting close to your PB every race, generally running pretty well, so you can't be get too upset about it.
Yeah, that is outrageous. Yeah, right. So do you actually do like 1500 specific work, or is your 15 just kind of naturally off your kind of 5K, 10K training, would you say?
Yeah, so I'm kind of lucky. I can't really handle like just the body type I am. I can't really handle doing really fast, high intensity, like interval reps and stuff like that. So most of my 1500 comes from just natural strength from just my aerobic base. And then I'm kind of lucky. I'm kind of one of those people that don't really need to train speed too much. I can kind of just get it from consistent training. So I'm kind of lucky in that regard, because I don't think my body could handle doing the hard, like 200, 400 meter reps every week. So I'm kind of lucky in that sense.
Yeah, that's, it's a fair point. So that's actually amazing. So, because Ryan obviously is a 1500 specialist. list. Do you train with him? Like you train with him a bit or not that
yeah,
much?
Yeah, so we'll do a lot of the training together, but there's always differences. Like kind of the end of session, they'll do some like more high intensity, quicker reps, while I'll probably do some, keep doing some longer type interval stuff.
Yeah, right. How does he feel about you, you like beating him at 15s? Is he a bit pissed off or is he a bit like, is he like, you know, is there a bit banter there or is it a bit like, oh, nah, you know, go on, mate, I'm on your side kind of thing?
Nah, I think it's like, it's one of those things in a sport, it's like, you can't really worry about, like, you obviously got to be happy for other people if they perform well. I think it's like, at the end of the day, you can't really worry about other people. Like, you got to just think your progression, you got to be happy with your results and not kind of let what other people do influence it too much. Because at the end of the day, unless you're the best in the world, you're not going to be happy. So I think you kind
of, that's true.
You got to focus, you got to focus more on just your progression rather than anyone, like anyone else's or anyone across the world.
Yeah, that's a good answer, Stewie. I was just trying to poke you a bit there. Do you ever take the piss out of him? Going, oh, I'll beat you at 15s? Or are you just nice to each other?
Oh, there's definitely, if you have a good race or you knock someone off, like, so I'll say something to someone. But if I race someone and they beat me or smash me, I'll get it back. So it's kind of like, you can give it, but you got to be willing to take it when it goes the other way. So I think everyone in the group, like, at some point, everyone's going to beat you. So it's like, you got to be ready to cop it if you're willing to give it out to everyone.
I chat to Joel Tobin White quite a bit, and he seems to be a kind of guy who give it out quite a lot and not really back it up. So, yeah.
Nah, but, yeah, he doesn't mind giving it out, but surprisingly, he does actually back it up a little bit. So,
oh, let's not give him that credit. He had one lucky race in Japan. Oh, I don't know.
We'll give him a little bit of credit.
yeah, all right, mate. So what else? What's after Stockholm?
So there's a couple of other races planned, but it's still like kind of up in the air. So possibly a race in Croatia, but we're still trying to work it out. And then the last race will probably be maybe Doha Diamond League at the end of September, but that's still up in the air with whether people are going to be able to travel into the country or not. So it's kind of like just plan it race by race and then hopefully back in Australia by the end of September and kind of have a bit of a break and then start getting ready for hopefully Olympic year next year.
Yeah, exactly. And and again, to congratulate you on that call up. That's just, sensational news. And let's just hope the world kind of sorts itself out and then we can actually have an Olympics and we can watch you beat Jakob Ingebrigtsen in the 15. Actually, you know, you're just 5 and 10, aren't you?
5 and 10 at the moment, yeah. So I think he'll be doing the 5K. So I'll be able to race in there.
Oh, nice. So if you actually got the qualify for 15, would you consider doing the 15 and the 5? Or are you kind of keen to do the 10?
So I've got the qualify at the moment for the 1500. So I've still got to run well at the trial event, which will be early next year. But I'm kind of leaving the door open. I kind of want to try and make all three and then obviously decide which two I want to do. So I haven't given it a huge amount of thought yet and kind of just decide what I think I'm going to have the best chance in Tokyo next year.
What about 800? You know, I mean, has anyone ever qualified for 4 events at the Olympics?
I don't know. I think probably 800 is a bit out of my range. I don't think I'm quick enough out of the blocks. So that might hold me back a little bit, but I'd love to do one because it's like my PB that definitely holds me back because I haven't run one since I was like at school. So
what is your PB?
Yeah, hopefully. So it's still 201 officially.
You've never gone sub 2 for 8, unlucky mate. I've done it once.
Not officially. So I've definitely closed races a lot quicker than that. But yeah, never actually officially run 800. So hopefully at one point over the next year, I get to have a crack at a good 800.
Yeah, absolutely. So you must run like a 149 or something during a 1500 or something, if it's like that kind of race. Or
yeah, I think sometimes you go through in like 150, 151. So I assume at minimum, if you can do that at the first half of a race, you should be able to at least run that in a race. So I assume I should be able to go close to a little bit under that.
145, do you reckon you could do that?
It's kind of that thing you never know until you do it. So I kind of want to do it and then kind of tell people what I think I can do.
That would be a big flex, actually, if you came out and then did an 800 and got, like, the Aussie record.
Honestly, never know. I kind of never know. I couldn't. I can't see it happening, but I'd love to give it a crack,
mate. I would love to see it. To be fair, so we'll get yeah, get that. We'll get just say Stockholm. Just do it. Just do it there instead of the 15. Yeah. Or actually, no. I want to see you race Jakob. To be fair.
Yeah, or I might do one at a Vic Miles club later in the year.
Oh, mate.
If they eventuate.
Well, we'll see. Joel Tobin White can lead you out. So, yeah, I reckon he'll be confident.
He could jump in it. We could have a 800 race off me and Joel.
Oh, you'll beat him all ends up. Has he ever run an 8? Probably not. I don't know.
He's actually quick. Like, to his credit, he is definitely quicker than what you think. He's one of those guys you don't think would be quick, and then he's actually a lot faster over the shorter stuff than what you think he would be.
Yeah, it's annoying how talented he is, actually. That does warm you up a bit, actually. he'll come out and just like, oh, yeah, I did about 90 Ks a week, and then he ran 62 minutes flat for a half. I mean, that is ridiculous.
He's definitely a talented bloke, far out.
Yeah, anyway, let's talk about Joel. I think I'll let you go, Stewie, but... I'll certainly be following. What time is it on? Is it on Saturday, Sunday?
So it's, I think it's 5 p.m. Stockholm, around 5 p.m. I'm not sure of the exact time. 5 p.m. Sunday, Stockholm time. So it'll probably be Monday morning in Australia.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, what happened last time for the Monaco one, there was a live stream. I just found that on YouTube and I didn't check my phone. So I did not know any of the results. So I just watched it as if I was watching it live. So I'll probably be doing that again. That was good. So it's quite hard not checking your phone and you got all the, yeah, anyway. So, good luck, Stewie. That's awesome news about the Olympics call up. And I reckon I'll try and get Tracy to sort us out, catching up again soon. Cause it's bloody interesting. You're traveling around Europe, racing the Ingebrigtsens. Bloody love it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for the chat, Nick. Doesn't matter if it don't come back. Oh, no.